Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a long overdue episode of Great Lakes Football Talk. Today, I'm joined by the owner of the Fantasy Football Fraternity, Paige Ed. He's been with us before. We do apologize about the long overdue wait for since our last episode. It's been crazy with all these drafts going on, just trying to find time set aside to get a podcast in there. But we are back and we're ready to get things rolling. And Ed, what's going on today?
Hey, man, just hanging in there. It's a nice 95 degrees in Albuquerque. Sitting here finishing up all my drafts as well. Just like you, my son just woke up as well.
Do you have any other drafts left before the season gets kicked off?
No, I actually just wrapped my last one up the other day. I was able to survive all my drafts. I only drafted Melvin Gordon once. So I think I'm ready to go for the season.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, I think I'm done too. I was going to get in one last one yesterday, but I decided I didn't need another league. Plus it filled up too late. So I'm in 24 total. I think that's a lot. A couple of them are just best balls. So really not much to do. Just had to draft, but the other ones, and I'm including a college league that I'm in too. So between all of them, I'm in about 24 leagues, and that's plenty for me this year. I got a lot. It's over 5 platforms, so I got a lot to handle this year. Speaking of Melvin Gordon, though, let's get right into that with our news and notes here. The biggest two news and notes that we have here, kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, but have to do with the same thing. Melvin Gordon is not signed yet. Zeke also has not signed, but the latest that we heard from him was that they're very close on a 6-year, $90 million deal. He's flying back to Dallas just in case the deal gets done today. Any thoughts on those? I know you mentioned you brought in Melvin Gordon on one of your teams. I've completely avoided him. I completely avoided Tony Pollard. I do have a few shares of Austin Eckler whenever I could get him around the 6th, 7th round. And then I also have a few shares of Zeke. I actually grabbed him 2nd overall on Sunday in a draft right around the time that the news broke that he was close to a deal then. So I took the chance and grabbed him then. But any thoughts on those two players before we get going?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, I mean, he was a real flyer that I was taking when I took him in late in the 5th round in that draft. And I also went and I took Justin Jackson. I took him in the – I reached and took him in the 9th just because I was drafting people I know, and I know they're going to try to hate on me and take all my cuffs to my running backs. The problem you run into a little bit with Austin Eckler is he's not – think of Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, and the Chargers as the Chicago Bears of last year. Poor man's version, because they don't run this high-speed offense, though they do run a lot of plays. Excuse me. You're going to see a lot of Eckler catching the ball, but not too much carrying it. And so for first and second down, a lot of times you're not going to see Eckler always on the field. He's not the high volume back there in San Diego. So if you can grab Justin Jackson way late as well, if Eckler gets injured, Justin Jackson is a steal between the 8th through 11th. Right now, Eckler going right now in the 5th, which is okay. You'll be able to flex him a little bit. But think of 5 less points than Tarik Cohen last year as far as Gordon is concerned. Gordon, I don't see coming back this year. He doesn't put up the numbers that Bell puts up. He doesn't put up the numbers that Zeke puts up, yet he wants to be paid the same as them. The Chargers are notoriously stingy. Front office in that regard, they're not going to pay him. He's either going to get traded or he's just going to sit there, and they seem more than happy to let him sit there on the bench or at home.
Yeah, I'm not too 100% committed on saying that he's not going to come back just yet. I'm going to wait until after this week, because once that player misses that game check, then that's where we can figure out if he's going to come back or not. I don't know. I mean, I think that, like I said, he's got to miss that game check first. If he misses that check and then talks are starting to heat up between week 1 and week 2, then you can start to see, yeah, he's going to come back. But if he's still nowhere to be found or anything like that, then maybe I could see him sitting out for the year. I don't have any shares of Jackson. I I really was only going for Austin Eckler in a lot of the leagues that I have him. I got him at a good spot. And the way that I typically draft is I'll go a little running back heavy early. So even taking Eckler 6-7, he's like my fourth running back at that time. So I'm not too worried about it. Might actually flex him in a few leagues this week coming up, especially knowing that 100% Melvin Gordon's not going to be there this week. That's already been reported. We're still up in the air about Zeke. But, I mean, you'll play Jackson, I'll play Eckler, and we'll see what happens there.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited about it. I'm definitely excited about it. Before we get into a couple players that we like and dislike this week for week one, again, like you said, it's right around the corner here. As we're recording this now, it's Tuesday. So the first game is 2 days away. I mean, I don't know what your plans are and if you got people coming over, you're going out to the bar. But, I mean, I'm excited about it. It's not two teams that I typically root for, but it's football. So I'm excited to have it back. But before we get into that, what are your thoughts on our two teams going at it this week to kick it off, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold in their second year, full season as starters now. Both got some weapons in this offseason in the draft and in free agency. What are your thoughts on that opening up at home and going into that game?
First of all, I'll admit that I was a little bit off on Josh Allen. I don't think he has the overall talent presence that Darnold has. But I think Allen, what he brings in is leadership. And if you need somebody fourth and one to make a play, I'm going Josh Allen over Darnold. That being said, my boy Sam, he's got some weapons now. He's not just going out there with Herndon as his number one weapon out there, Aminua or whoever, Bilal Powell. You know, they brought a lot of weapons, and Bell is going to take the pressure off him so much. I could see Lev Bell, 75, 80 catches, just check down, check down, check down, and sitting there run the slants of Crowder, and Robbie Anderson might be able to tear the top off that. Darnold can throw a long ball if he can make a move in the pocket. He can deliver that strike. So I got the Jets. I'm streaming the Jets defense in almost every league.
That's funny because I got the Bills defense going in a few leagues. In the leagues that I didn't draft a defense, and my number one defense this week is Dallas. Spoiler alert: they got a pretty good first three games of the season actually. So any league that I could draft them and put them in there I'm not going to have to touch them until week four when they play New Orleans. But I got Buffalo in a few leagues, and I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, I don't think it's going to be high scoring to where either defense is going to be in the negative, because you do get negative points when you're up above 35 points or whatever in some leagues. So I don't think it's going to get that bad for either defense, but I think like both the D lines are going to get to the quarterback there. We're probably going to have a couple interceptions, couple fumbles or so, especially with Buffalo not having a legit run game right now. Obviously we lost Shady, so I mean, Frank Gore doesn't really turn the ball over too much, but I mean, we don't have that legit number one running back. So I could see the rookie going out there, maybe putting the ball on the ground. Hopefully he doesn't, Devin Singletary, but I mean, it could always happen. So I could see this being like a nice 17-14 or 20-17 type game, couple turnovers, nothing too crazy, but having the defenses both ball out.
Mr. Consistency, Frank Gore, 75 years in the league. Still has a job.
Still going strong. I like Josh Allen too this year. Cole Beasley, he showed a little bit of chemistry there with Cole Beasley in the third preseason game. And I like your weapons too. I just started to write a little article on a lot of the second-year quarterbacks for this year. I haven't posted it to the page yet, but I mentioned how both of our quarterbacks have – I mean, our offenses are pretty much completely revamped. So I'm excited to see them both. And if it's not Buffalo that knocks off the Patriots, hopefully it's the Jets. So hopefully one of us can do it this year.
Well, it ain't going to be Miami.
Yeah, definitely not going to be Miami. It's hard to find even one win on their schedule.
Yes.
All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about some guys that maybe some under the radar guys that we like specifically for week one. I'm not talking like your everyday guys, like your Mahomes and your Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking who's a guy or two that you could definitely see maybe not even still on the waiver wire, but somebody that you have grabbed in a lot of leagues and you specifically like this week, week one.
Well, I mean, he's a household name now. He's actually starting to get a lot of hype right now. So everybody's already drafted for the most part. Darius Geis is getting a lot of hype right now in all circles. Jay Gruden has already come out and said that he's going to be the bell cow back there, which is fine. He's on a lot of people. When I've looked at rosters over the leagues I'm in, most people that have him, they're either their second flex or they're first on the bench, second on the bench. This is a guy that, if health has always been an issue and concern with him, if he can stay healthy, he has the talent to be a top 20 running back, maybe even a top 15 running back this year.
Yeah, I can see it. The Redskins, they open up in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Eagles have a little bit of changes on their defense, but it's definitely a game that, I mean, I think the Eagles do have the edge. They have the firepower up front, but the Redskins defense they're no slouch. So it's definitely going to give them some opportunities to have guys not be taken out early in the game because the score is two out of whack there. So I could definitely see that happening. A guy that I like, and it's really hard because a lot of the leagues that I play in are single quarterbacks, so I'd hate to talk about a quarterback in this spot, but I'm going to go with it anyways. I'm going to go with Nick Foles, and I got him as one of the sleeper team of the week that I'm taking over for this year. Blitz is not doing that this year, so I'm taking over for that. So Nick Foles, he opens up with his new team, the Jaguars. They're at home against the Chiefs. Now, it could go one of two ways. Both could benefit Nick Foles. One is the Chiefs put up a lot of points on that defense. And so Nick Foles has to throw the ball and get you some fantasy points, get you some garbage points. Or he just clicks with that offense and that defense does their job. And he just goes out there and plays a game to where he's getting you just an average quarterback game. So, I mean, it's a good matchup to start out. You're at home. You got your strong defense behind you, so there shouldn't be too much to worry about. But if you have to put up those points and hang out with the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he's a guy that's capable of doing that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Nick Foles, he could take back the mantle from the garbage king, Blake Bortles, in some of these games this year. That defense was really exposed last year after putting up one of the better defensive years in recent memory. The year before that, they have so many weapons to spread it around to, unproven weapons for the most part, but a lot of weapons. Foles can bomb that ball. Underrated arm. I remember watching him in Philadelphia. Some of the throws that he made, I mean, I'm not sitting here calling him an expert Favre, but some of the throws he made were very Favre-esque in the pocket, getting killed down there to Aguilar, Jeffrey, whoever's going to catch that ball last year. And I think that Foles has the opportunity to do that this year. A lot of burners on that Jacksonville offense, Westbrook and Cole. And hopefully they reestablish the running game. They can get some play action going. And I agree with you. Foles is a great, great sleeper pick for week one. They're probably going to be playing down for most of the game.
And one other note, they went out and signed Hard Knocks favorite Keelan Doss from Oakland after the surprise cut on cut down day. Now that episode airs tonight, so hopefully we'll see maybe the reasoning behind that. But they got another weapon there. I know he was making some acrobatic catches and looking real good in Oakland's camp, at least from what we've seen on TV. So another weapon to add to Nick Foles. A big part of it does come down to Leonard Fournette. If he can stay healthy, kind of open up that run game, and like you said, open up the play action. Hopefully he does. I mean, I haven't really – he's somebody that's kind of going under the radar in a lot of drafts. Like he's
RB3 air flex in a lot of teams. A lot of teams are getting him in the fourth, or maybe not the fifth round as much, but a lot of teams are getting him in the fourth. As a surprise, a lot of people are going Mahomes and Rodgers in the year of the quarterback, really. I mean, quarterback and wide receiver so deep that I'm so surprised to see Fournette falling in some of these leagues. He really is a candidate for a bounce back year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has RB1 potential, but he's going as, like you said, an RB3 or flex at the draft spot that he's going. So definitely something to look out for. Hopefully he bounces back and he can stay healthy, because I remember a couple of years ago he broke off that, they've already had the game won, but it was against Pittsburgh, and he broke off like a 80-yard run at the end of the game and helped me win my week just off of that. I mean, he's got speed for a bigger guy. I mean, and he could definitely help that whole Jacksonville offense open up.
Attitude and injuries with him.
Yeah, hopefully he could get it all going this year and stay on the field for 16 games.
On another note, I think it's funny that Doss got cut, but they could bring in a 17th quarterback for their roster.
Well, you saw Nathan Peterman's on IR.
Oh, the GOAT.
I don't know what it is with him. He looks good, and I mean, he was never taking Derek Carr's job, but he always looks good in preseason. He has
preseason MVP.
That's what he is, exactly.
Every year.
You got another guy that you like this week, maybe even a deeper sleeper this week, somebody that nobody's really talking about, maybe not even on anybody's team, or maybe drafted real late?
Well, I mean, I got a couple, but a lot of them are possibly due to injury. I'm looking at wide receiver, and wide receiver is super deep. Jarvis Landry is on a lot of people's benches. I've seen Emmanuel Sanders, another guy that, due to the injury, is flying in a lot of people's radars as well. Emmanuel Sanders, the third, fourth person on some people's bench. Sterling Shepard, he's going to be the, for whatever it's worth, with the Giants, a wide receiver one with them to start the year until Tate comes back. Depending, and this is one that you should watch, depending on how that offense runs in Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald, he went super late. I don't think I saw him undrafted in any leagues, but I could see him this week in a flex spot, be a security blanket. He's a guy that you check down to, run a little curl, catch 5 to 8 passes for 55, 60 yards. That doesn't sound sexy, but, you know, he could go for 10, 15 points, a guy that might not, maybe even on the waiver wire in your league.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. He's another guy I haven't really gotten a lot of shares of, but not because I don't want him. I've been seeing a lot of other opportunities around where he's been going, so just been going that route. I'm going to stay in the same game, and I'm actually going to go with the other side, Marvin Jones or Kenny Galladay. I mean, you could use either one, but basically, Patrick Peterson's out for the first 6 games. I know the Detroit offense wants to run the ball a little bit more, but I mean, there's definitely a lot of potential there for either one of those guys or even both of those guys to kind of just open it up and air it out. And I know I got Marvin Jones in quite a few leagues, actually. And we brought it up in our chat a couple times, but he's been a guy who was on pace for well over 1,000 yards last year, I think, 10 or 11 touchdowns, bunch of catches, and then he got hurt. He would have had.
That's his life story. If he had a book, it'd say Marvin Jones playing like a Pro Bowler for the first 7 games of the year and getting hurt.
Yeah.
Detroit and Cincinnati story.
That's crazy. But if he could stay healthy, I mean, that could be a solid 1-2 punch in Detroit. And Stafford, we all know Stafford likes to sling it. Sometimes he likes to sling it a little too much and goes overboard with it. But if he could stay healthy, if Kerryon Johnson can be that legit number one. They brought in CJ Anderson as kind of the backup and goal line back, and then went out and drafted TJ Hockenson at 8 overall after bringing in Jesse James in free agency. I mean, that whole offense has the potential to be top 15 in the league.
Well, it all comes down to play calling with the Lions. I don't know who calls the plays for them for the past 10, 15 years. They just can't get it right. Can't get right with the running game. I mean, Reggie Bush is their last 1,000-yard rusher, I believe, right?
Yeah, I believe so, too. I think it was Reggie Bush. But I think Kerryon, nobody's going to be Barry Sanders ever. But he's definitely going to be – he could go down as the second-best running back that played in Detroit. Hopefully it works out that way. Any guys that you are staying away from, even if you drafted them, just like you just don't like their week one matchup? Actually answer it like that. A guy that you drafted that you're probably not playing this week because of the week one matchup.
I always preach this to you guys, man. Play your studs. Like, even if it's a tough matchup, I don't have too much stock in the Miami Dolphins, but in the few leagues I have Drake, I'm not playing him. I have Preston Williams as a sleeper in a few leagues. I'm not playing him. Any of those matchups like that, except for the studs on Thursday night, I'm not too big on that. Of course, you had to play Aaron Rodgers if you drafted him, of course. Yeah. Aaron Jones, Davante Adams. But outside of that, I mean, that matchup scares me for Green Bay. We've watched Green Bay come out and just get annihilated week one several times, actually, on the opening game of the year. That Seahawks game really shines in my mind a few years back. But there's been other games where they've come out flat. So mainly the Dolphins, and I don't really like the Thursday night games either.
Yeah, I don't really have many Packers or Bears. I mean, I've got Davante Adams maybe. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, I got about 24 leagues. So try to stagger my picks, and wherever I picked, I do have Adams in a couple spots because I didn't want all Hopkins or I didn't want all Julio Jones. So I got a couple shares of him. So I'm definitely going to play him. I don't think I have any Rodgers. I'm not sure if I have any Rodgers at all. David Montgomery, I do like for Thursday night. What are your thoughts on T.Y. Hilton? Now, he's a guy that, I'll say it like Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy that was, depending on when you did your draft, earlier in the summer, he's late second, early third round guy because Andrew Luck is there. Maybe he's still going through some rehab, but expected to start week one. And now as things happen, and as of 2 weeks ago, Andrew Luck's not there anymore. If you drafted him already, in that late second, early third, are you playing him this week? I mean, he has a pretty tough matchup too. I know Derwin James is out, but San Diego or LA as a whole does have a pretty strong defense with or without Derwin James. So are you playing T.Y. Hilton? I mean, even with that high draft stock that you got him in?
You know, honestly, I am. I'm not as comfortable with him at my wide receiver too as I would have been about a month ago. Even with a couple years ago when Luck was out, I mean, Hilton almost had 1,000 yards with Brissett, who could only basically run the option, still had almost 1,000 yards in that season while Brissett was developing. But for the people that drafted a little earlier before Luck, it's a tough spot that you're in because the people that drafted him early, late third, mid fourth, you know, as a fringe wide receiver one, you still have to play him because what else do you have, really? I mean, you have to play him. You can't just sit there and give up on him. He should still get some looks. He's always been a boom or bust player, which is why another thing that I preach to you guys, I don't like the boom or bust players. And it may cost me in a league once in a blue moon, but I don't like boom or bust where a guy can get 5 catches for 175 yards 1 week and then 2 catches for 13 yards the next week. And that's traditionally what Hilton has been and why he puts up such high yardage numbers and yards per catch. You have to start him in the flex, I believe, this week and see what you got.
Yeah, I agree. And I got him in our Dynasty League, and I think he's pretty much my wide receiver one there. Pretty weak wide receiver roster I got there, so it's tough.
You can have
there,
one.
Well, sell me one for cheap. I'll take deals. But yeah, he's my wide receiver one there. Got Mike Williams too. Kind of excited about that, but I mean, I'm kind of forced to play him there, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you make a good point with regardless of where you drafted him. I mean, even if you took him within the past week and a half after Luck wasn't there anymore, he was still not really slipping past. No later than the fifth. I don't even think I even seen him make it to the fifth, but he's been going fourth, fifth, which is depending on how you draft, it could be your wide receiver two, could even be your wide receiver one if you went RB strong, or even grab the Mahomes or a Kelsey. So definitely got to play him there. Is there any Giants that you're playing even outside of Saquon Barkley? Are you touching anybody in the Giants lineup?
I mean, I'm lucky enough, even in deep leagues, not to have to start anybody there. If honestly, I'm a big tight end guy myself, but I mean, you can start Ingram. He's going to be a security blanket. I don't think you're going to get what you want to get until Daniel Jones is in there. Eli's going to struggle. I think Saquon will be a security blanket and will cover a lot of Eli's mistakes now with checkdowns and busting off these 14 to 20 yard runs. But if you have to play Shepherd in a deep league, he gets a lot of targets. He proved it last year with Eli in there. He'll get the targets. It's a question is if he can get open. Evan Ingram should take a step up. It's a pretty well-known fact that rookie tight ends and, you know, first, second, third-year tight ends, they need to develop. Nobody just comes in perfect out the gate.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see that second tier of tight ends, your Ingrams and O.J. Howards and Hunter Henrys, and I think you could even throw Vance McDonald up in there too. I think the tight end position is a lot stronger this year than in previous years. It's like last year you had, who was it? There was a guy that only played, what, 10 games, and he still finished in the top 10 for tight ends. I forgot who it was, but
I think it was Gronk, I think.
No, I don't think it was. I mean, Gronk might have done it too, but I think it was there was somebody else too that I can't remember who it was.
I'm pretty sure Gronk did that last year, the year before, and it was less than 10 games, I think, too. And
it might have been. Yeah, see, it's been pretty rough the past couple of years for tight ends, but hopefully it gets a little better now. I mean, you got aside from Evan Ingram, the tight ends pretty have some pretty strong quarterbacks throwing to them, so. Hopefully they can spread the ball out and make it work.
I think Jones is going to be a star.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really good in camp. He's looked good in the preseason games, looked good in camp. I know a lot of Giants fans weren't excited about taking him at 6 overall, but, I mean, he's definitely shown. I mean, he hasn't really shown he's a 6 overall pick yet until he actually plays some regular season games. But who knows? I mean, maybe the Giants front office knew what they were doing.
They should be happy. At least they finally addressed the position.
Yeah, well, that's
three or
true.
4 years too late.
They could have waited one more year, though, and when it's supposed to be QB heavy next year.
That's a real Giants move, but at least they got Barkley.
Yeah, that's true. What's your favorite game on this week's schedule?
Oh, I mean, of course, the Jets and the Bills, of course. But, I mean, I don't know. I usually just flip on Red Zone and I throw them all on. I watch Guilty as Charged. I watch my fantasy football players outside of my homegrown Jets versus Bills. I mean, honestly, and this is going to sound silly, I'm excited to see what the Raiders bring this year. And I know it sounds so silly with the circus in town and everything, but I want to see Derek Carr show flashes in the past. I want to see him with Brown there, with Gruden. If that West Coast offense is just a dinosaur from 20 years ago. I want to see if they can do something with that before they move to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm excited about that game too. I'm actually excited more for the other side of that game, and that's the Broncos. I think I want to see how Flacco responds to his new team. I mean, he's got weapons there. You might not think that he's a good quarterback. I don't know what your thoughts are on Flacco, but he's got some heavy weapons there. I mean, they went out and got Noah Fant in the draft. They got second-year Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton. Emmanuel Sanders looks to be healthy again. Philip Lindsay, who was a league winner last year, picked up on waivers and helped a lot of people win their leagues last year. And it seems like he's going to be more well-rested this year with them going with a 50-50 split in Royce Freeman. So maybe that doesn't help a lot of fantasy teams this year, but definitely – the actual Broncos and Broncos fans as a whole should be excited about their team because they still have that strong defense too.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think I don't know if I'm going to be the only one, but I know I picked the Raiders in our weekly pick 'em to beat the Broncos week one. Probably an unpopular pick, but I think the Raiders show a little bit of improvement this year. Maybe a little life before they before Antonio Brown stubs his toe and implodes.
I think they. I think quite a few people grabbed the Raiders, but I was on the Broncos side. It's nice that nice for you at least that you get to watch that game at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, I got to wait till 10 o'clock over here.
You can come to the west coast out here, the Midwest, I should say.
Going to work Tuesday, super tired, waking up 3 hours after the game's over.
That's why I like it over here. Good for baseball too.
Yeah, it's I have a friend that lives out in near Seattle now, but I was like, even before he moved out there, it's like I just always thought like a Monday night game to us is a Monday afternoon just getting out of work, getting stuck in rush hour traffic for you guys out there.
Exactly. You ain't getting home and getting done. I got plenty of time. I can come home for dinner, you know, everything, and sit down with a beer and be dumb for the night and just sit down and watch the game where you guys get ready. You'll still be at work.
Yeah, exactly. It's so I think that's some good content for today. Put a pretty good show together. Anything that you want to go over? I mean, like I said, we're 2 days left before the season starts. We got one of the best rivalries in all of sports, not just in football, and that's the Bears and Packers. We have obviously one of our admins is a huge Packers fan.
Unfortunately.
And we got another admin that's like a fake Bears fan, so maybe they'll be going at it. I don't know. It's going to be a fun game. And any final thoughts on just week one before we head out?
I mean, dang deals. That's all I have to say.
Let's get those deals going. Trubisky for a first round pick.
Trubisky Hall of Famer.
All right. So I hope to have you on here again. I'm kind of shocked that no news broke while you were on, because the last time, if I recall, the last time you were on was Le'Veon Bell signed with the Jets. I was actually hoping that having you on right now, maybe we get some Zeke news, but it doesn't look like it turned out that way.
Somebody's wife is going into labor right now because we're filming this. We're recording the show right now.
Well, they can listen to it after after the baby comes up.
They can name their kid Jet or Bill or Sam Darnold. That's my cue, my little mini Jet over here wanted me to get going.
All right, yeah, it's nice to have him on the show. We're not going to be paying him. My son's not even getting paid yet either. But maybe eventually these two will be running the show. But I'll get you on again. Yeah, I'll get you on again, and we'll talk to you guys later.